Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, this is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. We have been considering some of the pictures of theology in picture form, pulling out our coloring books to help us understand and appreciate what the Bible says about these various areas of theology. We today are going to talk about another one of those areas of theology, see if we can put it in picture form, but it's going to be one of the biggest challenges of our Theopics series, and that is the doctrine of sin. How would you put sin into picture form? Well, before we get to that, let me remind you of the importance of the ratings and reviews. Please do that. That's so helpful in getting the word out and passing these episodes along to friends at church who you think might benefit from them as well. These are good conversations to have. I'm so appreciative of your listening and interacting with some of these truths from God's word and seeing how we can put them into practice in our lives. Okay, did you come up with any pictures? Let me give you a couple. And I'm drawing these primarily from three penitential psalms, right? These are psalms of David after he sinned with Bathsheba and having her husband killed. And he repented. He didn't just repent quietly or privately. He repented in a public way to help the people of God to repent, because we sin all the time and we need to be repenters all the time. These psalms are Psalm 32, Psalm 38, and Psalm 51. Maybe Psalm 51 is the most famous, I think. Psalm 32 might be the sweetest. But anyway, they all have a lot to say about sin and repentance. And I think we can draw out some pictures that we can turn pages in our books and see if we can understand more about it as we consider the picture form. So the first picture I want you to imagine is a nice, beautiful lawn, and there's this little sign on the lawn, and it says, "Keep off the grass. Keep off the grass." You know, why did I ever think I could not walk on those grass, you know, until I saw that sign, right? I didn't even care about walking on the grass. Then you see that sign, and there's something inside that goes, "Oh, you want to step on that." Well, that image captures a biblical concept, and it is the word transgression. Transgression means that you are violating the legal limits. You are crossing the lines. God's word sets the standards, and God's word tells us where we can walk and where we can't walk. And the sin inside wants to cross that line. In other words, transgress. In other words, sin against God. Psalm 32, verse 1 says, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven." And there's three key words for sin that show up several times in these penitential psalms. There are the words transgression, there's the word that's translated sin, and there's the word that's translated iniquity. They show up at the very beginning of Psalm 32. They show up at the very beginning of Psalm 51, all three. And Psalm 51 starts like this: "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin." So, big, that's That's a big deal, right? These words. And so we need to understand what they mean. The first word, transgression, at least shows up first in Psalm 32, is the word that we've got our picture of keeping off the grass. Our second picture is an archery target. Maybe you've heard this before, that some people say sin is like missing the mark. Okay. So again, the standard is God's word, God's commandments. And if that's the bullseye and the surrounding circles around the archery target, you also have to imagine your arrow not stuck into the target, but maybe stuck into the ground in front of the target. So if you go to the archery range with me, you might experience that visual and see the arrow stuck somewhere it's not supposed to be, right? You want it to go into the target. Well, in the same way, when we sin against God, we are missing God's mark. We are falling short of God's standard, as it says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the standard of God, of the glory of God. We don't do it. We all sin in so many ways. And these pictures help us to get a more comprehensive perspective of what sin is like and why it is so bad. It is the problem that we need to have mercy for. And that's what David is praying for in these penitential psalms. All right, our third picture shows up in the third key word, the word iniquity. Blessed is the man, this is Psalm 32:2. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, in whose spirit there is no deceit. All right, what's our visual for the key word iniquity? And it is, I'm thinking of a stop sign that has been hit by a car. Okay, so in your picture, what I don't want you to do is have a car in the picture. Just imagine the stop sign after it's been hit. You maybe have seen this, you just run across them on the highway. Hopefully you don't run into them, but you see them as you're driving along. And the metal is mangled. It's twisted up. And the word iniquity has the idea of twisted. So if you think of God's standards as straight and perfect, you can see why twisting is a good image for us to consider. Again, we hate these things. These are not good things at all. These are very bad things. But it's important for us to understand the bad news before the good news makes sense to us. Okay? So let's turn the page and consider another picture as we're imagining sin visually. And it is this. I want you to imagine a stubborn mule. The kind of mule, not the cute kind or anything like that, the stubborn kind. There's a reason they have that reputation. The mule doesn't come when you call them, right? We have a nice dog. The dog loves to come, loves to jump all over the place when you go out to play with him or call him or whatever. But a mule sometimes will just stand there and look at you. It will do nothing. And the Bible compares sin to being a mule in that way. As David says in Psalm 32, verse 9, be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. So this stubborn mule is going to do his own thing. If you don't have the bit and the bridle on the mule's head, he's not going to come when you call. Doesn't matter if you hold a carrot out. I think horses come when you hold carrots out or little apples, right? But not the mule, right? Again, we're just visualizing here as the Bible visualizes for us to help get a picture of what sin is like. So what is sin like? Sin is being, when there's a sign that says, keep off the grass, when God has set boundaries, we go beyond that boundary. Sin is like when God has a standard, which is the target that we're supposed to be shooting for, we miss the mark. our arrow falls short of the target, just like we fall short of the glory of God. Sin is like that mangled piece of metal, the stop sign that's got smashed and twisted up and distorted by a car wreck. And sin is like being a stubborn mule. We just want to do our own things. We're just rebelling against the creatures. And of course, David tells us in Psalm 51 that we're born that way, right? In sin, I was conceived, he says. We're not trying to blame our parents for our sin, but what we're saying is our ultimate parent, Adam, right? When he sinned, he was our federal representative in the garden, it says in Romans 5. And so when Adam fell, we all fell with him. We are born bad. We are born guilty, and we live that out. So there's something inside. There's a little mule inside of you, right? There's a snake in your heart, as somebody else said. But we're thinking about the mule. We twist things. We do the things God doesn't want us to do. So these pictures help us. It's sad to see, but we have to deal with reality. You have to know what the problem is before we can get to the solution. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, let's consider some more pictures of sin and let's get to the solution.
And we will be back with more from Dr. John Krotz in just a moment as he teaches about sin today and the pictures that he's using, the keep off the grass signs, the mangled stop signs. Yeah, most people avoid thinking about sin seriously because it's uncomfortable, but you can't understand grace until you understand what grace rescues you from. And this visual approach that Dr. Krotz is taking actually helps with something that most Christians are struggling with. We've turned sin into a vague concept instead of the rebellion that it actually is. And so I appreciate what Dr. Krotz is doing here. And that's the kind of honest self-examination that you're going to get every single week here with Dr. Krotz and every single day with all of our content that you can find on Fortis Plus. That's right, Fortis Plus is our distribution hub. That's where all of our content is distributed through. There's hundreds, maybe even thousands of hours of audio and video content available on Fortis Plus right now as we're speaking, and we're adding to it every day. It's not static content that was curated years ago that we want you to watch and consume. No, we're adding to it every single day, and we want you to have access to it. That's why it's absolutely free. That's right. It doesn't cost you anything. More on that in a moment. But first, let me tell you how to actually get to the content. You can get to it by downloading Fortis Plus on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or you can go to fortisplus.org. Now, why is it free? Because we believe all of the content that we're creating shouldn't be locked behind a paywall. And it's because of people just like you, gospel partners, who partner with us and make it possible to reach more people in more places all over the world. Without our gospel partners, we couldn't do any of this. And so we are so grateful for the many, many, many people who have linked arms with us. And we would love if you would consider becoming a gospel partner. One caveat, though, you've got to be giving to your local church. If you're not already giving to your local church, please don't give to us or any other ministry for that matter, because your local church is your number one giving priority. If you're not giving to your local church, get that taken care of. And then when you do get that taken care of, if you still have a margin where you could join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we would be honored to link arms with you. We know you've got questions about what that would look like in your life. Hey, we've got answers available right now at FortisInstitute.org. Just head over there right now to find out what it would look like in your life to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Now, let's get back to Dr. John Krotz. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It's more than being a knower of the truth. It has to be knowing and doing.
And now back to your host, Dr. John Krotz.
Welcome back. Today we are looking at more pictures of theology. And it's a little sad today because we're looking at pictures which kind of show us and represent in picture form what the Bible teaches about sin. And it's important because we have to know about the problem before we can get to the solution. And sin is definitely the problem that we all face. And we want to move forward to find out what the Bible says about solutions. But a couple more pictures that help us appreciate the Bible's teaching about sin. All right, for this picture, I want you to imagine someone being sick in the bed. I mean, they are really sick. All right. While we're recording this, the flu is really going around in Georgia. It's been a really rough flu season. We've got a number of people in church that have been down with that, and even some people that had to go to the hospital. It's tough stuff. Well, the Bible also uses sickness as a representation of sin. And it's interesting because in these Psalms, these penitential Psalms, Psalm 32, 38, and 51, David often goes there. And so I want you to think of somebody sick in the bed for this picture, right? I want you to think of them with the covers all the way up to their chin and maybe a thermometer sticking out of their mouth. Maybe they've got an ice pack on their head because they're burning up with fever. All right. These are some of the same words that David uses as he talks about his sin and his repentance in these Psalms. I also think we can actually take a lesson and recognize that sometimes sin affects us physically as well. I mean, David wasn't just using pictures. He meant this with a real literal meaning to it all. This was bad stuff. His sin was wiping him out. Remember, he was in unrepentant sin for some time before Nathan the prophet confronted him. I mean, we know that because Bathsheba had the baby. The fruit of their immorality was a child. And that child, the Lord took as part of the judgment for his sin, for David and Bathsheba's sin. And so David, apparently the pregnancy had gone on. So I'm imagining David was in sin maybe 9 months during this whole time. And so anyway, it's something. So he writes these words to us to help us appreciate the depth of sin. All right, Psalm 32, verses 3 and 4. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. And of course, in Israel, it gets really hot in the summer. It's kind of a desert climate, like the southwest of the United States. It's kind of that dry, deserty climate, and it can get hot. And so the fever heat of summer, that's how David was feeling. I think we can take a lesson. Not only is this an image of sin, right? So if you imagine being healthy as a picture of righteousness, sin is that distortion. Sin is messing it all up from what it ought to be. If everything was in the Garden of Eden, right? They didn't get sick in the Garden of Eden before the fall. Adam and Eve were doing great, feeling great all the time. And so I think that we can also, as I said, take a lesson that sin does affect us physiologically as well. There is a relation. We are embodied creatures, right? Our spirit and body are interconnected. For more on that, you should listen to Greg Gifford in the Transformed podcast. It is so helpful in dealing with areas of counseling and what the Bible says about some of these things. Well, we take what happens in the body very seriously. Sometimes the body affects us spiritually. Sometimes our sin affects our body physiologically. Okay, some more on this same image. If you turn over to Psalm 38, one of the other penitential psalms, this one, it doesn't have as much about forgiveness and about repentance. This psalm really is kind of David lamenting his sin, and he just pours it on. He says in verse 3 of Psalm 38, "There is no soundness in my flesh because of your indignation. There is no health in my bones because of my sins." Verses 5 through 7, "My wounds stink and fester because of my foolishness. I am utterly bowed down and prostrate. all the day I go about mourning, for my sides are filled with burning. There is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and crushed. I groan because of the tumult of my heart. I went down to verse 8. He keeps going in verse 9. O Lord, all my longing is before you. My sighing is not hidden from you. My heart throbs. My strength fails me. And the light of my eyes, it also has gone from me. My friends and companions stand aloof from my plague, and my nearest kin stand far off. All right. And then Psalm 51, the third of the penitential psalms, and really the most famous one, I think. In verse 8, he says, let me hear joy and gladness. The bones that you have broken, rejoice. Now, he's not comparing it to sickness as much, but he is talking about injury. This is not healthy. I'm not the way I'm supposed to be. And again, did he mean that literally? I mean, was he falling apart physiologically? Yeah, I think there was some of that. But I think it's also just poetic imagery to help us understand sin messes you up. And it's quite a picture of being sick in the bed. All right, let's go to another one. Now I want you to think of someone who is deaf, he can't hear, and is dumb, he can't speak. Now, dumb, I don't mean anything about an intellect. I mean, he's mute. He cannot speak, right? And so Psalm 38, verses 13 and 14, David compares himself to this. He says, but I am like a deaf man, I do not hear, and like a mute man who does not open his mouth. I have become like a man who does not hear, and in whose mouth are no rebukes. Okay, so for our visual, you just imagine the person who is deaf. He can't hear, and maybe he's using sign language. He can't speak either, and it's just not the way it's supposed to be. Maybe this is a subset of the guy who's sick in bed, although deafness and being a mute is not sickness. It's a disability, but that it also is a picture for us here of what sin looks like. I'm in no way saying if you are hearing impaired, that would mean it's because of sin. It does mean in a fallen world, ultimately, all of our sickness and disabilities are because we live in a fallen world, but it doesn't mean there was a specific sin that caused you to not be able to hear. All right, another picture, our final one. I'm thinking of a little boy that is absolutely filthy. The kind of filthy, like when your boy goes out and he's just playing in the mud. This is only the kind of filth a little boy can get. I don't know if girls can get quite as filthy as an ultimate little boy there. But anyway, you know what I mean. And let's go to Psalm 51, right? The most famous one of David's Psalms of repentance. And the filth, the dirt, it just keeps coming up in these Psalms. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgression. I've got blots all over me. Verse 2, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Later on in the same Psalm, Psalm 51, verse 7, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. This reminds me of Psalm of Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. Well, what is it that can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Jesus came, he lived perfectly, he suffered and died on the cross in the place of sinners. On the third day, God raised him from the dead. Whoever will call upon the Lord will be saved. You'll be forgiven. You will be cleansed. These pictures that we've been considering, though we can relate to them, they are not the end of the story. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. By faith alone, you can be clean from your sin. Thank you for listening. Let's go do God's word. Thank you as well for giving us a rating and review and subscribing to Integrated.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Krotz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Krotz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.